Happy Sunday and good Sunday afternoon. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim DeJunis for the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you from the Holy Bible, as well as a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And from time to time, we will also look at some other books and references, and we do have one in one of our readings later this month. So I want to begin this Sunday with the way we begin all of our Sundays, and that is with prayer. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time together. We thank you for our audience tuning in to learn and listen about you and your Son and the love you have for all of us, the directions you want to give us, Lord, that we may be faithful to you. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful and blessed to be in the presence of you and your Holy Son. And we ask that you clear our minds and our hearts so that the words that were spoken today may be your words and the words that you want to impact and impart on our hearts. And we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So on the sixth day of December, I'd like to go ahead and read Sarah Young's devotional. And it says, "Stay ever so close to me, and you will not deviate from the path I have prepared for you. This is the most efficient way to stay on track. It is also the most enjoyable way. Men and women tend to multiply duties in their observance of religion. This practice enables them to give me money, time, and work without yielding up to me what I most desire. And what God most desires is your heart. Rules can be observed mechanically. Once they become habitual, they can be followed with minimal effort and almost no thought. These habit-forming rules provide a false sense of security, lulling the soul into a comatose condition. What I search for in my children is an awakened soul that thrills to the joy of my presence. I created mankind to glorify me and to enjoy me forever. I provide the joy. Your part is to glorify me by living close to me." And this devotional today is supported by three readings of Scripture. First is Psalms 16, verse 11. "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." And both Matthew and Mark in the Gospels also took this Deuteronomy verse and reported that's what Jesus' answer was when someone asked him, "Lord, what is the most important commandment?" And he said it was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And so we were taught that again here in Deuteronomy. So thank you again for joining us. We've got an action-packed day today. We're going to try to get through actually three books in the Bible. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 2 and 3 John are only one chapter books. But I want to kind of summarize what we finished up last week. And what we finished last week was the Gospel of John. 21 chapters, all in all. And John wrote a very emotional gospel regarding Jesus, his love. And at the very end, in chapter 21, if you'll recall, Peter, who had denied Christ before his crucifixion three times before the cock crowed, if you remember, Peter, who was devastated when he heard that cock crow and remembered what the Lord said, and the Lord prophesied that he would actually deny him. And Peter, of course, denied that he would deny him, and he did deny him. But Jesus challenged Peter at the end of the Gospel of John in chapter 21 to feed my lambs. And he actually... challenges all of us to do that, to feed his lambs, to take care of his sheep. And if we truly love God, we are asked that we take care of others. We are asked that we take care of them, not just physically, but spiritually. And that's our calling. And he gave that direction to Peter, and Peter became the rock, the beginner, the first pope of the church, the universal church, and that's why it's called the Catholic Church, the universal church. And it's a message for us as well. So please take that to heart. And like I said, we're going to move on. We're going to stay with John. And John also read several other books in the Gospel, in the Bible, four to be exact, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then as well as Revelation. So we're going to start with 1st John, and I've got a little reading for us before we get into the Scripture itself. And it reads, "A good man, yes, perhaps one of the best men who ever lived, but just a man, say many. Others disagree, claiming that he suffered from delusions of grandeur, a Messiah complex. And the argument rages over the true identity of this man called Jesus. Suggestions have ranged from simple teacher to egomaniac and misguided fool. Whoever he was, all would agree that Jesus left his mark on history. Hearing these discussions, even Christians can begin to wonder and doubt, is Jesus really God? Did he come to save sinners like us? Does God care about me? 1 John was written to dispel doubts and to build assurance by presenting a clear picture of Christ. Entering history, Jesus was and is God in the flesh and God in focus, seen, heard, and touched by the author of this letter, John the Apostle. John walked and talked with Jesus, saw him heal, heard him teach, watched him die, met him arisen, and saw him ascend. John knew God. He had lived with him and had seen him at work. And John enjoyed fellowship with the Father and the Son all the days of his life. The elder statesman in the church, John wrote this letter to his dear children. In it, he presented God as light, as love, and as life. He explained in simple and practical terms what it means to have a fellowship with God. At the same time, false teachers had entered the church, denying the incarnation of Christ. John wrote to correct their serious errors. So John's letter is a model for us to follow as we combat modern heresies. And there are many modern heresies. John opens this letter by presenting his credentials as an eyewitness of the incarnation and by stating his reason for writing. He then presents God as light, symbolizing absolute purity and holiness. And he explains how believers can walk in the light and have fellowship with God. If they do sin, Christ is their defender. John urges them to obey Christ fully and to love all the members of God's family. He warns his readers of antichrists and the antichrist who will try to lead them away from the truth. John presents God as love, giving, dying, forgiving, and blessing. God is love, and because God loves us, he calls us his children and makes us like Christ. This truth should motivate us to live close to him. We can be sure of our family relationship with God when our lives are filled with good deeds and love for others. Again, John warns us about false teachers who twist the truth. We should reject these false teachers. We should continue to live in God's love. Do you know God? Do you know Christ? Do you know that you have eternal life? 1 John was written to help you know the reality of God in your life through faith in Christ, to assure you that you have eternal life, and to encourage you to remain in fellowship with God, who is light and love. So the purpose of 1 John is to reassure Christians in their faith and to counter false teachings. The original audience was the letter was written to no particular church. It was sent as a pastoral letter to several Gentile congregations. It was written between 85 and 90 A.D., and the setting was perhaps at the time when John was banished to the island of Patmos, where he would live in exile. So let's go ahead and get into it. Chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen in our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. This is a really, really important couple verses here in the entire Bible, not just in 1 John, but I'm going to reread it, and this is verse 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So, if you're a professed Christian and you remain living in sin, notice I said living in sin, not sinning. We will all sin. We have all sinned. We will all continue to sin, but we should not live in sin. We can't say that we're Christians and continue to live in sin, because we're living in darkness if we are. So what John's saying here is, if we claim to have fellowship, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his Son, who purifies all from sin. That is really just some beautiful words, and some beautiful words to live by for sure. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. I made a comment earlier, we all sin. We will all continue to sin. We should try not to, but we are human. And our nature is a sinful nature. So we shouldn't deceive ourselves or deceive God, because God knows. God knows our sin. He still wants us to confess it. He wants to hear us say it. He wants us to walk away from it. Chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I'm writing you a new command. It is truth. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has done or does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And of course, John is speaking about our spiritual life, not our physical life. We will all have a physical death, but our spirits live, and we have to decide where are we going. Well, God helps us decide in the judgment day, of course, but having faith in Christ, it promises eternal life with God. Not having that same result is if we turn from God and we have not professed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointed, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? Is it the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son also acknowledges the Father. See what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointed anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he does appear, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Chapter 3. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. I'm going to repeat that first verse of chapter 3, and it says again, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what you are. You are a child of God. No greater honor. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has ever seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a children of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Read that again. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So just don't say something, do something. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how we can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that God has come in flesh from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, but because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I want to repeat that too. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Christ defeats Satan. Christ wins the battle. Christ wins the war. And if Christ is in you, you win the battle. You win the war. Satan cannot defeat you. Please know that. Please understand that. It's critical that we profess our faith in Christ for that reason. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves us has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love us does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Wow. The definition of love. This is love. The gospel, the book of 1 John says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he showed us his love by sending his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen and amen. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is the love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcame the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he? Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes in Jesus is the Son of God. Wow. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are with him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourself from idols. And that concludes 1 John. Given the time, we are not going to have time to get into the 2nd and 3rd John today, and we may delay those two readings to another time, because I know next week we have we already have kind of filled out with Galatians, and then the week after that we'll be starting to study Jesus' birth. So let's conclude with a prayer, and then we'll call it a day. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for these awesome words of John in the first book of John. Father, let us be remindful that you love us, and that you are love. God is love, and he gives us commands to love others. And we accept that challenge, Father. We love your Son Jesus, and in him we pray. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next week. We hope that you've enjoyed the program. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available on a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call. Thank you again, and may God bless you this day and every day.